This podcast is brought to you by Knowledge at Wharton. For more information, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.
U.S. stocks boomed in the last 9 months of 2009, but remained well below earlier highs. Many people have called the first 10 years of the 21st century the lost decade because stocks returned virtually nothing while investors are conditioned to expect 10% a year. Meanwhile, bonds and commodities have had a stunning run. Have the rules of investing changed? What's ahead for 2010? Knowledge at Wharton talked with finance professor Jeremy Siegel, who sees some hazards, especially for bonds, but expects a good year for stocks. Welcome, Professor Siegel. Well, stocks have had an incredible run in the last 9 months and actually ended 2009 with a pretty good gain. Is this what we can expect for the future, and what has caused this?
Well, it shouldn't be a surprise. We dodged a very severe bullet when the financial crisis hit worldwide. It started out very much like the Great Depression in the early 1930s. But in contrast to the Great Depression in the 30s, the central banks around the world rallied to the cause, providing enough liquidity to prevent a collapse of the financial system. And that was in doubt whether they'd be able to do that earlier last year. And that's why we saw in the stock market down some 58% from its high. Now that we've avoided that, and I can say that with about 98% confidence, the market has essentially moved up substantially. And I believe justifiably from the abyss that we were looking into.
Now, when you look inside the indexes, for example, the S&P 500, at things like price-to-earnings ratios and other data, what are they telling you right now?
Well, we had obviously a severe hit to earnings, and certainly the financial sector was a major cause of that. When before the recession in 2007, we had earnings on the S&P 500 that were in the $90 per share range. That fell all the way to around $30 a share at the bottom. And most of that was due to the decline in the financials, which took severe losses, as we know, multi-billion-dollar losses, and those minus signs canceled out a lot of the profits that were in the other sectors. We are looking forward to a much better earnings this year. Consensus forecasts are around $70 a share on the S&P 500. I think it might even be higher. Now, if you take a 15 price earnings ratio, which is the long run average, and we can talk about whether that's appropriate or not, but I'm just giving that as an example. 15 times 70 is 1050. We're at 1100 or a few points above that. So we are now in the range of average valuation for this year's earnings.
Let's explore that a little bit. Is a 15 P.E. ratio still appropriate, or have things changed?
Actually, my own research shows that when interest rates are as low as they are now, and inflation is as low as it is now, that the average level of P.E. ratio in the post-World War II period has been 18 to 20. So one might say that as long as we don't get a sharp increase in interest rates, that the fair valuation of the stock market is actually higher than what we see today. A second very important factor to consider is that 2010 is just 1 year out from the most severe recession in the post-war period. It's nowhere near what I would even consider normal earnings. If we go back in history, after 2, 3, 4 years, we have usually matched, if not surpassed, the previous peak in earnings. And as I mentioned, in 2007, we had $92 a share. That won't be hit in 2010. It might not even be hit in 2011. But I think history tells us by the 2012, we should be in the 90 range and even above. So if you apply normal ratios, 15, 16, let us say, to $90 a share, you still end up considerably higher than we are today.
And then if you add on top of that a ratio of 18, you'd go even higher.
That's true. If interest rates stay as low, and as I'm sure we're going to discuss a little later, I don't think they're going to stay as low as they are now, although I don't picture a severe ratcheting up of rates.
Well, let's discuss it now. One of the things that so many people have commented on is the great run that the bond market has had in recent years. And a lot of that has been driven by the price gains caused by falling interest rates. So what do you see happening with interest rates and bonds?
Well, I think that bull market ended in the first quarter of last year. I mean, when we got that long bond down to 2%, which was crazy, but it was basically a depression hedge rate. In other words, people say, "I need this. I want my treasuries in case the world collapses." Now that the world has not collapsed and in fact is recovering, we see the long bond, moving towards 4%. So it was a very bad year, as it turned out. It was a good decade for the long bond, to say the least, but it was a bad year for the long bond. The truth of the matter is, I don't see it being a good year now in 2010 either, because I believe the Fed will be forced to raise interest rates sooner rather than later, that we will see bond rates move even higher.
Is this good news for people who are fixed income investors, the retired, or people who care about interest earnings?
Yeah, actually it is. I mean, we all know we're sitting on our money funds and earning infinitesimal little income. I believe that, certainly we're not going to enjoy the double digit or even high single digits that we did in the 70s, but we don't want that. That was associated with very high inflation. But we're going to move more towards normal interest rates, which for savers is going to be very good. For borrowers, it's going to be tougher.
Now, higher yields are wonderful so long as you're not losing it all to inflation. What do you think inflation is going to do?
I think inflation is going to be under control this year and probably into 2011. However, I do believe that we will have a upward tilt to inflation, which means I think the longer run trends point towards 2 to 4% range of inflation, rather than the 0 to 2, which unofficially is what most central banks and the Fed have in fact targeted. So my feeling is that we're going to have low to moderate inflation, nothing double digit at all, and in fact, not even high single digit. So those fear mongers who worry about the fact that the tons of money that the Fed has created, the liquidity to fight off the crisis, is going to turn into fuel for the next inflation, I think are wrong. But at the same time, I do believe we will have a slight upward tilt in our inflation rate from what we've had over the previous several years.
But the 2 to 4 range is pretty much standard over the long run, right?
It's not. Yeah. In fact, I remember when I was studying economics, we all talked about what a victory it would be if we get down to 2 to 4%. We've been spoiled with very low rates. Most central banks do use 0 to 2. They come closer to 2. I think they will move closer to 2 to 4, particularly in the United States, I think, given the large deficits that we have the liquidity that is created. But let me state that just as Bernanke acted very responsibly in providing the liquidity necessarily to prevent the Great Depression, he is also a good enough economist, an excellent economist, to know that money is what fuels inflation. The Fed is responsible for inflation. The Fed is really solely responsible for inflation. He will not let it go above 5 and probably not even 4. So he will raise interest rates to whatever level is necessary if inflation starts running into the mid-single digits or higher.
Now, when we talk about inflation, we also often talk about commodities, and there's been a pretty good run in some commodities, especially gold. What do you see happening there?
The commodities cycle has followed really the world economy. It hit its low really very close to the same time stock market did. Everyone was looking at a very severe recession that could get worse. Commodities ultimately, except maybe for gold, are really dependent on economic activity, particularly oil, which is the most important one. Now that the world markets have recovered, we see oil has recovered. I wish it would have stayed down in the 60s. It's moved up to the 80s, part of which is because of the very cold weather we've been having in the Northeast is boosting some demand for fuel. I would love to see it in the 70 to 80 range. I think personally that commodities are fully priced. I think gold is fully priced. I think gold is priced for a inflationary scenario that is much worse than I think will be realized. Those who fear for paper money and for the liquidity that has been created will fuel hyperinflation have been moving into gold. Speculators have moved into gold. The trends are up. We have a lot of trend followers. I think gold is a risky investment now. It could still have a short run, but my feeling is that is not going to be a good investment throughout 2010 and for the longer run.
Looking at the economy and the financial markets as a whole, what do you see as the big dangers that potentially could derail things?
I do worry about commodity prices getting out of hand. I would be disturbed if oil got 100 or above. I think that would put a dent in our recovery, but not squelch it entirely. At this particular juncture, I'm not fearing overregulation. Not that I like everything that's happening in Washington, but I don't see anything on the front that I think there is really going to squelch the recovery. Over the Christmas break, have just been in China and Hong Kong, and Asia is very much back on the road to recovery. And that, of course, has been the major driver of economic growth around the world over the last several years. So this recovery has very sound basis. It is really a worldwide recovery in the economy, and I think it certainly will continue into this year.
The China story is especially intriguing. They just seem to have rebounded wonderfully. Of course, their system is very different from ours, and I'm wondering whether there are lessons that we can draw, the West can draw from China, or are they just so different that we cannot?
There's a lot of differences, of course. One of the differences is that they have over $1 trillion in the piggy bank, and we don't have anything. They have such high savings ratios that they can start spending. We spend with deficits, and then the worry about deficits and rising interest rates. They had a lot more flexibility. When they saw foreign demand dry up, they just boosted domestic demand and infrastructure, which they are still building apace, and so they have the flexibility to move. When you have the size deficits we have, we just don't have as much flexibility, because every dollar the government spends means a dollar of extra deficits and future taxes, which scares investors and consumers. They don't have that situation. And as a result, they were able to withstand this world recession better than most other countries.
In the U.S., the deficit is the elephant in the room. It does seem to be moving closer and closer to center stage. How important is it that we tackle the deficit, and how soon does that have to be done?
Two-thirds of the deficit is caused by the recession. As the recession wanes, tax revenues will bounce back, some spending that will decline, unemployment insurance, et cetera. So we will move to a more manageable deficit just as a result of the economic recovery. The big 800-pound elephant in the room is really Medicare and, to a lesser extent, Social Security, which aren't solved at all long run. And they amount to multi-trillion dollar liabilities into the future, which, unfortunately, I don't think the Obama's health plan has really tackled. But these big multi-trillion dollar liabilities were here in 2007 when we were on the top of the boom. They were here in 2005 and earlier. They're always going to be there. The problem is that clearly we are able to run this size deficit in a recession. But as the recession wanes, we can't run the size deficit. It would drive up interest rates way too high, and the government will be forced to pull back. So long run, unfortunately, we haven't solved our problems. Short run, I don't think this deficit is something to derail the expansion, because we've had a tremendous decline in domestic credit creation. So the increased savings of the consumer has to go somewhere, and it's going into the government debt. So all this government debt, which is over $1 trillion on deficit, is being very easily absorbed because there's been no private credit creation. As the economy improves and there's more private credit creation, then clearly the size of the government deficit won't be able to be absorbed as easily. But as the economy improves, fortunately, the size of the deficit itself will go down because tax revenues will rise. So the big 800-pound elephants that are long run are still there. But I do not believe this deficit is going to derail the economic recovery.
Coming back to stocks, a lot of people have been calling the first 10 years of this century the lost decade. And I'm wondering if that is a good comparison, looking at prices today versus 10 years ago. There's quite a big difference in P.E. ratios from 1999 to 2009. And of course, if we were to do a 10-year span starting a couple years later, it would be an easier comparison to make. So what is the best way to look? Should it be rolling 10-year periods or longer periods? Or what is the best way to gauge the long-term performance of the market?
Well, as you know, unfortunately, we hit that bubble peak in the first quarter of 2000. I'm going back 10 years ago now, with the technology and internet boom. So, you know, we measure. Unfortunately, this decade got measured from the very top. I think the Dow Jones actually was peaked in January of 2000. The S&P in March of 2000. So. And by the way, that decade of the 90s was followed an extraordinary decade of the 80s. The reason why the last 10 years have been bad is that we had two decades of extraordinary record returns. The market fluctuates. Usually a very good decade is followed by a less good decade, back and forth. We never had two double-digit return decades as we did in the 80s and 90s, and the result was the market just simply got way too high. So the last decade has offset the excesses that were reached in the 90s. It shouldn't be viewed as a template for what's going to happen now as we get into this new decade of the teens. We're back to normal. In fact, My analysis shows we're even slightly below the normal. This decade has been so bad. I think it's slightly worse than the 1930s, certainly. It's wiped out that excess of the 90s. And now when we look at the long run, we have much more confidence that we're back into the normal range of equity returns, which we've talked about. Long run is 6 to 7% per year after inflation. And with this decade of correction of the excesses of the 90s, there's no reason why we can't be back into that zone of normal returns.
When we look at the stock market, we tend to look at the S&P 500 and the Dow, but there are lots of other indexes, and I'm particularly interested in small company stocks or mid-sized stocks and also foreign stocks. Do you have any thoughts on the health of those sectors?
Jeff, you know I've been a big fan of international, and I still believe that. I'm a big fan of emerging, and you should be in international stocks and in emerging stocks and in U.S. stocks. Many U.S. stocks, as we know, the S&P 500, 40% of it's in excess of 40% now of its revenues and profits actually come from overseas sales. So you've got to take a global view on equities. As far as indices are concerned, the S&P is the top 500. A broad index I like to look at is the Russell 3000, which is the 3000. Small stocks have done very well just in the last month. They had a very, very good December and have held out well. And they often do very well also early in the recoveries. So they should not be ignored. So really, you've got to take a global comprehensive approach to your stock investing.
How much of an American investor's portfolio should be devoted to small and foreign stocks?
My feeling is that you should have about 40% of your investment in foreign stocks. And I wouldn't mind it split between the EAFE, which is the developed world, Europe, Japan, and the emerging markets diversified. I know one advisor came to me and said that he had his clients one-third U.S., one-third EAFE, and one-third emerging markets. And what did I think? And I said, it's very aggressive, but I like it. That's, in terms of looking at the future. So, over half the world's equity capital is outside the United States. That fraction is growing. You have to take a global look.
And that 40%, that's of the equity portion of the portfolio,
right?
Not the entire portfolio, which
no,
also includes
this is the
bonds.
Equity portion. Yeah. And I don't recommend, people ask me what fraction stocks or bonds. I don't recommend that because it varies with each individual's particular financial circumstances. You can't generalize. Depends on your age, your other assets, what kind of incomes you're expecting, pensions you're expecting. So I don't like to give that certainly generic advice. You have to really talk to your financial advisor on what fraction should be bonds and stocks. Let me just say that, given the low interest rates and what I see for the recovery in earnings for stocks, I think that stocks are going to be much more rewarding over the next few years than the fixed income portfolio.
Well, that takes us to our usual final question, which is asking for a little bit of forecasting for investors. What can we hope for in 2010 in the stock market? And are stocks still the best bet for the long run?
I believe that we're going to have a good year. The main factor that stocks are going to deal with is that the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, is going to be forced to raise interest rates earlier than the consensus now expects. Many people are talking about no increase at all in 2010, all the way into 2011 before increases come. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the recovery is going to be stronger than expected. The Fed is going to have to act sooner. At first, this is going to be kind of a panic to stock investors. There'll be probably a correction in the market. But then investors will look around and say, just a minute, they're only raising interest rates because the economy is so good and profits are better. and they'll regain their footing. And I think it will be another positive year in stocks. I'm not saying it's going to be as good as the 22% or so that we had in 2009. You know, I see no reason why we can't have another 10% gain in equities.
And bonds, what do you see for them?
Bonds, I still think, I don't think are going to have a good year. Risk premium's going down a lot. I like corporates and risky corporates a little bit better, but those risk premiums have shrunk dramatically from where they were earlier last year. So I don't think any long-term bond portfolio looks to get good returns in 2010.
So stocks are still a good holding for the long term.
Stocks are going to be the place to be, not only in the long run, but also, I think, over the next 12 months.
Well, as always, a lot to think about. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
For more business news and analysis from Knowledge at Wharton, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.